The Energy Department is set to release an accident report today. It concerns an incident at the Waste Isolation Pilot Project in Carlsbad, New Mexico. Now, in early February, a salt haul truck caught fire underground. The repository is now closed indefinitely, but radiation has been detected on the surface. The Los Alamos National Laboratory has promised to restore remove 4,000 barrels of nuclear waste stored above ground. Ed Lyman is a senior scientist with the Union of Concerned Scientists and co-author of a new book, Fukushima, The Story of a Nuclear Disaster, and he joins us now. Good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Yes, good morning, Tom.
All right, so give us the rundown quickly on what exactly happened out there. A truck burned underground, as we understand it, and that's caused radiation, some people think, to take place above ground?
Well, actually, the truck fire seems to have been an unrelated incident. That was a truck operating in a part of the plant which didn't have any radioactive material. It was a truck used to carry salt. And so it appears that that was actually a coincidence. It was not until 11 days later, no, 9 days later, that the radiation leak was detected above ground.
Okay, so it's, but there's also material stored above ground. So is the problem that no one knows what the source of this above ground radiation is?
Yes, no one knows yet because they shut down all operations immediately after the contamination was detected at the surface. And they may begin to send workers back inside this weekend, but they're going to have to proceed very carefully because of the they don't know the extent of the contamination at the operating level of the repository.
And what is actually stored underground at that repository?
WIP is the dump where the Department of Energy sends most of what it's called transuranic waste. And this is waste that was generated during the production of nuclear weapons, where it's contaminated with certain elements like plutonium and americium. And they have very long half-lives, meaning they'll be in the environment for a very long time, and they're very toxic in small quantities. So it's mixed waste like equipment and clothing that has been contaminated with small quantities of this material, but large enough so you couldn't throw it away in an ordinary low-level nuclear waste dump.
So it's pretty dangerous material, in other words.
It's certainly dangerous in the long term if it were to get out into the environment.
And is this repository, it's pretty critical to the Energy Department or to the nuclear industry or to both? I mean, what would happen if it was closed on a long-term basis?
Well, WIP is it's a Department of Energy facility, and commercial waste doesn't go there, so it really is a problem for DOE, and it because it's the only location where this waste can be buried. It certainly is a problem if operations are disrupted because many sites around the country have been shipping their waste routinely, and the shutdown is starting to cause a backlog.
And if you were to go to this spot, I imagine you might have seen it. Is it, I mean, some of the older nuclear facilities in the country, especially like in the Pacific Northwest, are not in very good condition. They don't give you a lot of confidence that there's a really an efficient, safe operation going. How about this particular one in Carlsbad? Is it well managed in general? Does it look neat? Are things put away the way they should be?
Yeah, I actually haven't been there, so I don't know how it looks. But its reputation has been relatively trouble-free in the 15 years since it started operating. So there were a couple of minor incidents before, but this is certainly the largest level of contamination that was recorded. And the worrisome thing is no one knows what the root cause is yet, so it's hard to say if it's a one-off issue having to do with one of the drums that's received, or is it a more fundamental safety issue which is just coming to light now, like a collapse of one of the storage rooms where the drums are deposited that has caused mechanical damage to a drum, and if so, is that something that could happen again in the future?
And how far underground does all this take place?
It's about roughly half a mile.
Oh, so it's really deep. It's not like you could dig a shovel and accidentally break off the top of a barrel.
No, But there are concerns in the long term about drilling. There's it's an area where there's all sorts of mining activities going on. And one of the things you have to worry about, since the repository has to be safe for hundreds of thousands of years, is the potential for any kind of mining or drilling operations to inadvertently go through the repository, which might force a pocket of brine to flood it. And that's one of the things that they had to worry about in licensing the facility.
We're speaking with Edwin Lyman. He's a senior scientist with the Union of Concerned Scientists and co-author of the new book, Fukushima, The Story of a Nuclear Disaster. And briefly, what is above ground at the same place in Carlsbad?
Well, there are surface, administrative buildings and a storage site, which is not intended for long-term storage of waste. But there was waste that was shipped there, I think several dozen drums, which are now in limbo until the site can be started up again.
All right, so from the perspective of the Union of Concerned Scientists, what do you see as the policy implications or the future implications of what's going on there? I mean, what is this incident telling us?
Well, the incident's telling us that that any nuclear facility can potentially have problems and that you need contingency plans. And again, until investigators are able to get to the root cause of this, it's hard to draw any conclusions, but I think it is worrisome because there is no backup plan for WIP. There is also a larger implication that some advocates, because the facility has been working so well until now, they've suggested that maybe other types of nuclear waste could also go to WIP, including commercial spent fuel from nuclear power plants. And I think what happened there is going to really cause a pause in those additional missions.
And at the moment, there's no place that's permanent for the commercial waste that you mentioned, because there's a big spat, but right now the Yucca Mountain deal is off the table for the foreseeable future. And so that could be a bigger problem long term, sounds like.
Yes, that's right. The nation has a pretty big nuclear waste problem overall, at least 70,000 metric tons of highly radioactive spent nuclear fuel that's accumulating at reactor sites. That fuel could be stored safely at reactors for decades, but you can't assume that there's going to be administrative control indefinitely into the future, and that's why the goal has to be to eventually move that material into underground storage where it does not need to be actively maintained. The problem is that locating a nuclear waste repository is simply a very, very difficult job.
Now, the material that would go to a Yucca Mountain or that people propose would go to the WIP site, is that different from the material that's stored there now in terms of the half-life and how long it would have to be worried about?
Yes. Spent fuel from nuclear power plants contains a much larger mix of radioactive materials than the material that goes to WIP. And it's also much hotter thermally. And there's a debate over whether you want to put very hot waste in a salt deposit, which WIP is, because one of the properties of salt is that it actually doesn't stay still. It creeps. And the heat of spent fuel could accelerate that process and might have some impact on its long-term stability. So it's not clear that it really would be a suitable place for spent nuclear fuel, even if it were still operating well.
And you say that the WIP material needs to be looked after for, what, you said a couple of 100,000 years?
Well, plutonium-239 is one of the main isotopes of concern, and that has a half-life of around 24,000 years, meaning it remains, a given quantity will remain in the environment, in a sample, in significant quantities for at least 10 times that period. So we're talking about on the order of 200,000 years.
And what about nuclear waste from commercial plants?
Well, they have plutonium in it as well, but also other isotopes, some of which are shorter-lived but more intensely radioactive, and others which have half-lives of even longer. So the National Academy of Sciences determined that we really need to a repository that could function for a million years for commercial spent fuel. And this is one of the problems that may have sunk Yucca Mountain, because it's very unclear how you would license a facility for a million years into the future with any kind of meaningful proceeding.
Well, I mean, it's basically a fantasy, because the longest-lived society that might have had continuous administrative control over anything is, what, maybe 1,000 years?
Yeah, that's generally the rule of thumb for human institutions. So people do argue about the philosophy over whether it makes sense to license a facility for such a long period of time. But you are caught in a bind, because we create this material that does remain hazardous for that length of time. And so if our generation is creating it, we have to come up with a scheme for protecting it, or otherwise we're just bequeathing a hazard to future generations.
Well, maybe within a million years, humans will evolve so that we're immune to the radiation or something. That would be the easiest way. In the meantime, short term, like the next few weeks, what needs to happen at WIPP, and what do you propose that happens there?
Well, I think they're proceeding cautiously, which is a wise thing. Eventually, they are going to send workers down to actually investigate physically, see what happened there. And again, the working conditions are going to be complex, because they can establish areas where there's no known contamination, but they still have to be very cautious, because these materials have a tendency of cropping up in hot spots. So you have to be very comprehensive in your survey of these working areas, and to have to work in an area that's contaminated is a hard job. Underground, you have to wear full body protection and a respirator if you work in a contaminated area, and those are very uncomfortable conditions. So they need to proceed slowly, but hopefully once they discover what the root cause is, then we'll have a better sense of whether the repository is going to be safe for continued operations, or they're going to have to rethink what they do there.
All right. Ed Lyman is a senior scientist with the Union of Concerned Scientists. He's co-author of the new book, Fukushima, The Story of Nuclear Disaster. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.